When we heard today's readings, I suspect we were all aware of their overriding focus on water. And I began to think of how often in Scripture finding, receiving, lacking water is a motivating concept. Sometimes the most obvious ideas or experiences may be barely noticed because they are so much a part of everyday life. If we live in a place with assurance of shelter and food and water, we are apt to take these things for granted. We know that people, even large groups of people, settled near water for millennia. But we rarely remember to give thanks for it because it is such a universal part of being living creatures on this planet. Science wonders if there is life based on anything else somewhere in the universe. We just don't know. Probably many of us just now living here in the Bay Area may be beginning to think that we've had quite enough rain for a while, yet we don't say so. We know we must not take it for granted. We Californians live in a fine environment, but if we do not have access to water, we'll probably have to go elsewhere, as has happened to tribes of people throughout history and prehistory on almost every continent. The melting of ice at the poles alarms us. Ice is more useful than salt water. Rain is more useful as a water source for mammals than is the ocean. Water rights have been fought over all over the American West and in many other parts of the world. So it's fitting that the test that Moses is put to by the people he's trying to save is about whether or not he can get them water. And in today's gospel, the needs and revelations are all focused on finding, securing, and sharing water. It's almost as if we hear a story about salvation on one level, but on the basic level, the human flesh and blood level, it's about getting water. Water is a significant metaphor in the Hebrew and Christian scriptures. But the purpose of the water images is often what it seems. It's just about water. The world is flooded with water to punish people, saving only Noah and his family. We are cleansed in the water of baptism. Jesus, in great pain, says, "I thirst." There are cultures who use steam as a source of messages from a greater power. In a tribe in West Africa, women are said to walk over 10 miles every day to bring home an allotment of about a gallon. So after an unusually rain and snow-filled winter period, we find ourselves in more rain. I vowed several years ago never to complain about it. And although I might welcome a respite, I try to give thanks for rain each day. I was raised in Southern California. This may seem a long digression for a sermon, and perhaps it is, but I believe that we should always acknowledge the realities of what it means to be human. Living on this planet at the edge of an obscure little solar system, we believe we have been created for a purpose. Our Christian understanding is that the best people we can be here is to take care of our environment, to be as generous and careful as possible with other living things among us, and to believe in faith and thanksgiving that the power that made us will care for us forever. I've just been reading a novel. It's called Bewilderment by Richard Powers. It takes place in the near future. The scientists working in about 2050 or so are studying distant galaxies, looking for signs of water, the one thing they believe will be necessary for the existence of any sentient species. So far, they've not been successful in finding anything like that. But they understand the crucial importance of caring for each other and of caring for the planet they inhabit. In today's gospel reading, Jesus asks for water. He is at the well as an ordinary man, though as a teacher, a prophet. In his own power, he could, we presume, lift up a drink of water whenever he wanted one. But he's there as a man, not a god. He is a teacher of humans. And his guidance is for them, for us. The woman at the well is not ennobled, is not presented as a deserving witness of the Savior. Rather, she is almost an outcast. A woman who is not respected. She lives with a man she's not married to. Yet it is to her that Jesus reveals himself and to whom he extends the salvation that had seemed to be reserved for the Jews. It is as if even this person, a woman yet of doubtful character, can be given the true water of life. We are all included in this opportunity. We are all thirsty. We all have access to the well. We need to draw the water, and we all have the opportunity to do so. Jesus asks us to give him, and I presume give to all who thirst, the basics of human existence. And whether we are pillars of the town or outcasts drawing our water alone, we will not be abandoned. Amen.